to go to chapter 6 and verse 2 this morning. Hallelujah. Chapter 6 and verse 2. And I want to talk to you about how to overcome worry. How to overcome anxiety this morning. And worry. And this world is full of trouble. And you don't need to be listening to the world. You need to be listening to the Word. Amen. And I remember Holly taught a teaching years ago about the world and the Word. And she said there's only one letter that's different. That's L. And she said you need to get the L out of you. Or what in the L is keeping you back, right? So, but that's it. So let's look at this. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of what? Salvation. So let's hold up our Bibles this morning. Let's really say it like we mean it today. Come on, shout it to the Lord. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have, and I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess, my mind is clear, my heart is open to receive God's word, and I will never be the same, never, never the same, in Jesus' name, amen. Turn around, give somebody a high five, and say, God is a good, good God, amen? Hallelujah. You know, one of the tools and one of the ploys of the enemy is to get his people or God's people to worry, to get God's people struggling in this life with issues and allow worry just to pile up on them. Worry is not God's will for the believer. Amen? But it doesn't seem to matter at times because there's so much going on in the world, and it seems like there's been just an unholy fear released across the world today that people are just carrying anxiety and carrying worry in their life. Worry is not God. It's not God's will for us, and we are not to live, listen to me, in the future. You're not to live in the future. Amen? You're not to live in the past. So many people, man, they're living either in the future or they're living in the past. God wants us living in the present. I want you to put this up in the NIV, if you would, Aaron. I appreciate that. I want people to see this in the NIV and really understand what he's saying here. This is so good. For he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you. And in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you now is the time of God's favor. Wow. Now is the time. You need to receive this word right now. Now is the time of God's favor. God's favor is in the now. Amen. God's favor is not about yesterday or not about tomorrow, but God's favor is on us now. And it's really interesting, the word time there, it means seasonable or opportune time. We are no longer in the day of vengeance, thank God. You know, God is still able to, you know, correct us with the Holy Spirit, right? He does that. Thank you, Jesus. He's a good daddy. Amen. But we're not in the day of vengeance. We're in the acceptable year of the Lord. We're in the time of favor. We're in the time of grace upon our lives. And because grace is upon our life, we can be assured that God is going to take care of us. Woo! Praise God. When God hears you, it implies that he grants your request. And the Apostle Paul is quoting actually from Isaiah here, and he was just talking about the time of favor Isaiah prophesied is this present day reality. Amen? We can enjoy God's free-flowing favor on our life, constantly living in the present. Right now, amen? Wow, right now. So if you live in the now, all that is true about God is present with you and for you now. And the word salvation here means to preserve, rescue, deliver, and enjoy all that God has for you. We've got right now, right time favor in our lives. Turn to somebody and say, don't accept anything else. Amen. Just accept God's goodness and favor on your life. That's who we are. That's what we have. That's what we enjoy is God's favor. I love that. Amen. And you know, the believer, as a believer, and we talked a little bit about this last week. As a believer, we live by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians tells us we walk by faith and not by sight. And we don't put our faith in faith. We put our faith in Jesus Christ. It's our faith that allows us to receive everything God has for us in this present hour. Amen? Look at Hebrews 11:1. I want you to look at this, Hebrews 11:1. Amen? This is a great, the scripture, the whole chapter on faith, the heroes of faith. And look how he started this. I believe Paul wrote this. Some have other ideas, but I think Paul did. He said this. He said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith is. Faith is where? Faith is not in your yesterday. Faith is not in your tomorrow. Faith is now. It is now faith. Faith is for this present moment. Faith is for your present need. Amen? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And another rendition says, the proof of things not seen. Our faith is the proof of things not seen, and it is the substance, and that word substance really means concrete foundation. It is the concrete foundation of things hoped for. And hope in the Bible is the expectation of good. So our faith is always putting out there on the field, expecting the goodness of God to show up in my life. Turn to somebody and say, pardon me, is your faith showing? Hallelujah. Praise God, man. So we can have this constant expectation of good as we walk in faith and in Him. Amen. Turn over to Colossians. I'm going to give you a lot of word this morning. Turn over to Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. You know, man cannot deduce what holds atoms together. But I want to tell you, Jesus holds all things together. So, for by Him, all things were created. For by Him, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. Wow, isn't that awesome? And look at this. And He is before all things. Why do I not have to worry about tomorrow? Because God's already there. God's already there. God is already in your tomorrow. God is already in your mess. And He knows how to get you out of your mess. Amen. He's the best at getting us out of our mess. He is before all things. God is before us today. What an assurance to know that Jesus is before me. Not only is He before me, He surrounds me and He's in me. Amen. He's before all things. And in Him, all things consist. That word consist is hold together. In Him, everything is held together. Can I declare this morning that your marriage does not have to fall apart today? That in Him, it's consisting, it's holding together. Can I just share with you this morning, your mental side does not have to fall apart today? In Him, we're being held together. In Him, amen? Can I tell you, your kids don't have to fall apart today and fall out somewhere? In Him, they're held together. All things are consisting, holding together in Him. And if you're in Him this morning, you're secure. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Believe that you receive now. Amen. Hallelujah. In Mark, Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, all things whatever you pray and ask for, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Therefore I tell you, all things whatever you pray and ask for." Turn to somebody this morning and say, "Believe big or go home." Believe big or go home. You know, it's amazing when we ask God and believe God for something, it's usually just enough to get by. "Lord, if you'll just bless me right here, I so appreciate it, God. Thank you so much." We always are self-occupied. Self-occupation is not a good place to be in as a believer. We don't need to be thinking about ourselves. We need to be thinking about global kingdom mindset. That's why I appreciated this couple. I went out with the other night and they invited us out because they have a kingdom mindset. It's not about them, although they are blessed and they get blessed from what they put their hand to, but their heart is the kingdom. And so many times when we're believing for something, it's just for our little self. "Oh, Lord, if you'll just help me pay this bill this month. God, if you'll just help me get through this moment. God, if you'll do this." We need to be thinking big. "God, thank you for blessing me so big that I have so much that I can bless somebody else with. Thank you, God. I just am believing for something big here." You know, God's got bigger and better even than we can even imagine or think, the Bible says. And so many times when we're believing for something, we just kind of, "Oh, Lord, if you'll just come down through this crack and bless this, Lord, and go right back." Man, "Therefore I tell you, all things, whatever you pray and ask for, believe that you receive them and you shall have them." Turn to somebody else this morning and say, "God is not holding out on you. There is plenty to spare." We serve a God of overflow. We serve a God of more than enough. Amen? More than enough. Not just enough. A lot of people are living in the land of just enough. Amen? God wants you living in the land of more than enough. Man, this is good preaching this morning. Man, oh man. Hallelujah. I don't know if you're getting blessed, but I'm blessing myself this morning. So, we live in this land of more than enough, Jesus. He is more than enough God. Hallelujah. Turn over to Luke 15 this morning. Let's look just a moment. I want you to look at something. Luke chapter 15. Hallelujah. Many of you are so familiar with this story, but it's one of my favorites in the Bible. It's so good. I love it. Praise God. Luke 15. And drop down to verse 16. We're just going to go through a second. Luke 15, 16. Prodigal son. They sent him. He went on far country. We know that. He spent all of his inheritance with riotous living. And he joined himself with a band of people, and they sent him to feed the swine. And a Jewish boy to feed swine was not a very good deal. It's the lowest of low that he could ever be. And he said this, "And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no man gave him anything." You know, so many people are looking to the world today, and I'm telling you, if you look to the world's going to disappoint you. You've got to look to God and believe God. He is your supply. The world is never your supply. God is always your supply. Amen? And people want to see how close they can get to the world. I don't know about you, man, but I want to see how far I can get from the world. I'm just saying, you know, grace teaches us to deny ungodliness, worldly lust, all those things. I don't want to see how close to the edge I can live. I want to see how far in Jesus I can live. I just want to be like him. Amen. And it doesn't mean that I don't have friends and I don't associate with people that are in the world because I want to have impact on their life. Amen. But I don't have to participate on all that stuff, and I don't have to receive all the world's wisdom on things because I've got God's wisdom. So look at the next verse. But when he had came to himself, man, that's where people need to just come to their senses, right? When they came to himself, he said, how many of my father hired servants have bread? How much bread? Bread enough, and what else? And to spare. That tells me that God is such a good God that not only does the servants have bread enough, amen, and not only enough, but bread to spare, praise God, and I'm perishing with hunger. So he made a wise decision. Look what he said, next verse, amen. I love this. And I'll rise and go to my father, and I'll say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. God, I blew it, right? Next verse, and I just love this. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Wow. God, just make me like one of your hired servants. I'm no longer to be worthy of this, God. Next verse. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, condemned him, said, you rotten kid, you rebellious teenage boy, let me get my strap out. I'm going to give you 40 lashes right now. Here's the father's heart. You want to know God? Here's the father's heart. His father saw him while he was a great way off. He was looking for him. Amen? That's why we don't have to carry worry. God sees us. Amen? God knows us. He's well acquainted with us. Holly said he knows how many hairs we have on our head and how many we don't, right? Some of us, right? His father saw him, had compassion on him. Never once did God scold him. Never once did God condemn him. He was living with harlots. He'd spent all that he had. But he ran. He ran to him, fell on his neck, and kissed him. Man. Next verse. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven. Don't you appreciate honesty? Don't you appreciate honesty? And in your sight, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Lord, I'm no longer worthy. Did that stop the father? Your mistakes will never stop God's love. Oh, preach it, Pastor. Your sin would never stop God's love from loving you. That is amazing. Amen. That is good news. Your failure will never stop God caring about you. It will never stop God providing for you. Amen. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Look at the next verse. Look what the father did. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe. God always gives the best, doesn't he? Amen. You know, when you're giving something to somebody, make sure you give them the best. Don't give them junk. Amen. Give them the best. Praise God. Amen. He said, bring out the best robe. That robe represented restoration in the family. It represented not only restoration, but to us, it represents being restored in righteousness. We have the robe of righteousness on us today. Even though we might have been in rebellion, even though we may have made mistakes, even though we've done stupid things, God has put the robe of righteousness on us and put it on him and put a ring on his hand. Not only did he give him the robe of righteousness, the restoration to the family, but he gave him the authority. The ring was the insignia authority of the family that I have authority now restored to me. Do you realize you have authority this morning and you can call those things that are not as though they are and receive what God has for you today because of the authority God's given you in righteousness today. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. And then like that, he said, put sandals on his feet. Listen, only servants went without shoes. Sons wore sandals on their feet. So God is saying to you, you've got a sure foundation. You've got your feet are shod with the peace of God, walking in his peace, going in his peace as a son and a daughter of God. Hallelujah this morning. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. And I love this. Praise God. Look at this. Go on down to the next verse. Amen. Go on down to the next verse. This is so good. And he said, bring the fatted calf here. Now, the fatted calf just wasn't fat. I'm just saying. The fatted calf, it was there for a reason. It was there to sacrifice for our sins. The fatted calf in this picture was a representation of Jesus. He said, bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be. Let us party, amen? Let us have a party, amen? He said, bring the sacrifice, let us have a party. God gave us all these things so that you and I don't have to struggle in life and worry. Not one moment. Next verse, let's go on down. Hallelujah. Wow. When we know that we've received all things from God, we can just humbly give him thanks. For this son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they begin to be merry. Next verse. Amen. Now his older son was in the field, and he came and drew near to the house and heard the music and dancing. Self-righteousness people hate celebrations. I'm just saying. Amen. He was so caught up in his self-righteousness, this other son. Listen to what he said. So he called one of the servants and asked, well, hey, what are these things meant? What's going on here, right? And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. He's made a sacrifice. Wow, really? But he was angry, would not even go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. Can you see the father pleading with this older son? And look what the son said. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I've been serving you. The problem is the son did not have a son mentality, but he had a servant mentality. The law will give you a servant mentality. Do you realize you have to serve the law? Jesus never wanted us to be a servant. Jesus always desired us to be sons and daughters of God. In fact, in John 1:12, he says, I give you the authority or the power to become sons and daughters of God. You and I are the sons and daughters of God this morning because of what Jesus did for us. We're not servants, but we're sons. There's a vast difference between being a servant and being a son. Because a servant doesn't have the inheritance, but a son does. And we've inherited everything that Jesus has provided for us on the cross. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. He said, I've been serving you, God. I've never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat. You probably needed the goat. But this is kind of like, you know, what this mentality does. It's just... I would, but, Lord, I would, but, right? That's what goats do, they but. That I might make merry with my friends, it was all about him. This is what the Lord replied. This is so cool. But as soon as the son of yours came, he's devoured your livelihood and harlot, and you killed the fatted calf for him. Listen, next verse. And he said to him, son, you're always with me. You're always with me. And all that I have is what? Turn to somebody and say, wake up. All that God has through grace is ours. Everything is already there. Everything is set up for us right now. Amen? Everything is provided for us right now. Not in our future, not in our past, but right now in our present. Everything we have is ours today. Amen? Everything we have is ours today. We receive it right now. Praise God. Not yesterday, not tomorrow, but now. This is where faith is living. Why is faith now? Because God knows we need it now. We need it now. Today is the day, right? Jesus said, today is the day. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Right now is the day of salvation. Right now is the time to receive, right? Amen? Look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Let's go there just a moment this morning. Philippians 4, 6. Look at this. Now, I want you to see this morning, and I want you to set this up for you. Paul is in prison. If anybody had any reason to worry, it was Paul at this present time, right? Paul is in prison. Paul is awaiting his sentence, and surely he probably already knows it's not going to be good. But Philippians, if you look at the book of Philippians, the whole theme of Philippians is one word, joy. 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 Amen? It is the joy of the Lord that is our strength. And what did Paul say? He said, be anxious for what? For nothing. Turn to somebody and say, don't worry. Be happy, don't worry. Don't worry, be happy, man. If the world can express that, as believers, shouldn't we even be more? Be anxious for nothing. Nothing. But in everything, but in everything. When you're in something, what do you do? What is your response? By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is that highest form of faith. Thanksgiving says, thank you, God, I've already got this. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I appreciate it. Thank you, God. You're so good to me. Amen. Let your request be made known to God. When we do this, you know, when we hang on to stuff, church, when we just hang on to things, it's like it just weighs us down mentally. It gets into our physical body. It can cause all kinds of things going on in our physical body as well. That's why we need to let go. Let go. You got to let it go. You got to just give it to God. Amen? Be anxious for nothing. Look at the next verse. What happens when we do this? And the shalom of God. The shalom of God. Shalom, nothing lacking, nothing broken in our lives. Man, that is a good place to be. That is a good place. Oh, but you know, Pastor, this political stuff going on, let it go. God's going to take care of all this stuff. God's going to work through believers. And if you're a believer, I call it for you to rise up and vote. Rise up and vote. Amen. Are you listening to me? Not only that, get involved in politics, even on the local level. Go to your school board meetings. Come on, somebody. Amen. Oh, well, Pastor, you shouldn't mix politics and church. What's wrong with that? You should mix politics and church. The church should be leading the way. Is anybody tired of all that mess out there? I'm believing God for some great things. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. It doesn't even make sense that what you're going through, you can have God's peace on it. But you can have God's peace on it. Surpasses all understanding. Will guard your heart and minds through Jesus Christ. When we let it go, we can be assured that our hearts and minds are going to be guarded by Jesus Christ. Look at the next verse. Amen. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true. Turn to somebody and say, that's a real good thing to believe. Whatever things are true, not false, not a lie, whatever things are true. What is true? The Word of God is true. So you can believe God's Word every time. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a, come on, somebody say good report. Not CNN, a good report. Amen? A good report. If there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Regurgitate it. Bring it up. Think about it. Get it in your mind. Declare God's goodness over your life. Amen. Declare God's got good things for me. God, I'm asking big. Amen. God, I'm believing big. Amen. God, thank you for big things in my life. God's blessings in my life. God's favors over my life. Why? Because I walk in your grace today. I'm blessed going in and blessed going out. Hallelujah. All things were given in Jesus' hand, and Jesus just passed it along to us. Amen. Therefore, we can receive all things from him today because of his goodness in our life. You don't have to struggle in your mind any longer. You've got to live a let-go life. Let it go. Let it go. Amen. I know I told this story before, but I'm just going to share it one more time this morning. As pastors, that's what you get to do. So it's a blessing, right? So evangelists, you go in and share it over and over and over and over again in all different places. But when I was taking flying lessons years ago, and I was in this little plane with this hotshot instructor, we were going up and we were doing power on stalls, and you put the plane on like a 45-degree bank, you give it full power, you pull back, and it's like you're departing from the airport, and you stall the plane. But if you don't have the rudder lined up just right and the little ball in the center, that plane has a tendency for it to just go like this, and you begin to spin. And so not instructing me well, it's good to have good instructions when you're in a plane, right? Him not instructing me well, I didn't realize that, and I didn't have the ball center, and when I pulled back and put it in 45 degree and we pulled it all the way back, the plane just went like this. We're going, whoa. Went right over into a spin. So what I did is I let go. And I just pushed the yoke, I let it go, and when I did, the plane went one revolution, and it came right out and started flying again. And I'm like, well, that's good. and the instructor said, he's sitting there, he's as calm as can be, right? We're up about, I don't know, 4,000 feet, and he said, you did the right thing. And I said, what do you mean I did the right thing? I put the thing in a stall. He said, no, I'm not talking about that. He said, your ball wasn't centered. That's why you did that. He said, but you let go of the yoke. He said, if you would have hung on to that and just pulled it backwards, he said, we'd have gone more in a spin and we'd have crashed. He said, but you let go. And he said, when you let go of the yoke, that plane, the tension went off of it, and it just came right out of it because the plane's designed to fly. Planes are not designed to crash. So can somebody say, thank you, Jesus? Planes are designed to fly. Amen? Most crashes are because of pilot error, not because of mechanics, by the way. Planes are designed to fly. And he said, if you had hung on to that, he said, we'd have crashed. And so what happens many times is when we get something going on in our mind, the enemy just wants to build it up. Right? And the Bible says, magnify the Lord. Don't magnify what's going on in your mind. That's why Paul was so adamant about taking your thought life and controlling it and not allowing negative things to come into your life. You've got to allow God to just cause you to let go. You've got to trust him that much. I learned something really big that day. I learned a lot about flying that day, but I learned a lot about trust, and I learned a lot about, man, I need to let go of some things. This morning, you need to let go of some things. Amen? God wants you to let go of some things. God's got divine health for you. God's got prosperity for you today. God's got goodness for you today. We're living in the land of more than enough because of Jesus today. God doesn't want you struggling. Amen? He wants you walking in freedom today. Praise God. Whom the Son sets free is what?
Free.
Don't be like the servant, just trying to please God, just the son trying to serve. No. You're a son today. Don't get a servant mentality. Be a son. Be a daughter of God. Amen. Let's stand this morning. Praise God. I want to pray for you today. We're going to do something a little different today. I want to pray for you. And, when I was praying about this message this morning and I was seeking the Lord this week, I just felt like so many of you have just allowed things to build up in your heart and your mind that it's just been kind of a consuming thing. And God wants you to let it go this morning. God, as your pastor, I want you to let it go. I want you living in the enjoyment and the fullness of God. Some of you have been worried about finances. Some of you have been worried about health. Some of you have been worried about, you know, what's going on in the world and all the stuff happening today. But I just want to pray for you. And if you'll raise your hands this morning and just begin to worship him a little bit. And guys, if you can just play softly this morning. I just believe God. Hallelujah. I'm believing God for you. Amen. Father, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus. I release life into every mind. Every mind. Amen. God, that our thoughts would be your thoughts. That when the enemy tries to come in and put stuff on us, Lord, or cause us to worry, cause us to fear even, Lord, that we would recognize that immediately and we cast that down. And God, we know that you care about the birds of the air. God, you dress the lilies of the field in spectacular beauty. Lord, I know you care about us today. You love us so much, God, that you died for us, that you gave yourself for us. And today we don't have to worry. We don't have to take anxiety into our life. We take the peace of God this morning. Would you say that with me? I receive the peace of God that passes all understanding. Come on, say it again. I receive the peace of God that passes all understanding. Thank you, God. Our kids are taken care of this morning. Our kids are blessed today. Thank you, Lord. My body's blessed today. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit living in me. Thank you, Lord. I am the healed of the Lord. Thank you for your grace today. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Raise your hands up again this morning if you would. Say with Pastor, thank you, Lord. I am the redeemed. I am set free. I have everything that Jesus provided for me. I receive it this morning. I declare it out of my mouth. I speak it out of my mouth. I say the Lord is good to me. I say I'm God's favorite. I'm God's favorite. Come on, say it out loud. I'm God's favorite. Amen. In Jesus' name. Turn to five people this morning and say, God is good. Let's give him some praise today. Amen. Hallelujah. Invite somebody with you Sunday.